Welcome to the Stockyard Sessions podcast from Atlas Ag, the team behind Atlas Carbon and Meyer Grazing. My name is Matt Peacock, and I'm very excited to introduce you to my next guest. Just to give you some context as to where we are, we're recording this at the Wilmot Field Day. To our left is the woolshed, where all the proceedings are going on. And to our right, some lovely rolling green hills going up to the cattle yards. Lovely blue sky over top with a few white wispy clouds and a few utes going by as well, to be expected. The reason we're going to speak to my next guest is that he's been in Australia and has presented at the Wilmot Field Day and has been a big draw for the crowd here. So welcome to the podcast, Gabe Brown.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Gabe, we've only got about 10 minutes. I feel we need about 10 hours, but we'll do our best to get through it.
Great.
Now, I think we need to focus this interview two different ways. One, I want to talk about you, the man. And secondly, I want to talk about your views on Regen Ag. So where do you want to start?
Yeah. Me, the man, I'll sum that up quickly. I'm a poor cattleman, even worse farmer, but I can grow some soil.
Look, I've noticed people want to come up to you and shake your hand. People want photos with you. You obviously have a really deep connection with people, especially the farming community. You know, how do you feel about that?
It's very humbling. I'm a simple man. I just connect because I'm a farmer myself. And I went on this regenerative journey. I've been on it for 30 plus years. I connect to the people because I've been there. I've done that.
And what sort of questions do people ask you? Are they keen to learn from your experience?
Oh, yes, definitely. First of all, of course, the number one question I always get, well, it works in the United States. Will it work in Australia? And the answer to that is simple. Yes. Soil is simply sand, silt, and clay held together by biotic glues. You put me anywhere in the world where there's soil, and I will be able to get it healthy and get it functioning.
And do you think that message is starting to resonate more?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I was just in the UK last week. I was in Canada the week before that. Now over here in Australia, and it's a real groundswell effort, a groundswell force almost, moving forward that people, they just want to do better. And they understand that in order for them as farmers to survive, they need to work with nature instead of against it. And that's what regenerative ag is all about.
Just a final question on you, the man. Obviously, you're being a bit modest around being a humble farmer. A lot of the ways that I think you connect with people is the way that you communicate. Is communication something that comes naturally to you, or is it something you've worked on?
Well, I was blessed with a big mouth, so I might as well use it some way. And I'll be honest with you, I've always found it pretty easy to speak. But then when you do a couple hundred events every year for nearly 20 years, it becomes pretty easy.
So you spend a lot of time away from home traveling then, yeah?
Yeah, I spend over 275 days a year on the road.
Unbelievable. Okay, let's jump into your agricultural background and talk about common ground for common good, which is something you talk about a lot. Just give me a quick, you know, summary of your story today.
Yeah, so I was not born and raised on a farm. I'm a city kid, but got a real interest in agriculture, went to the university to become an agriculture teacher. While I was there, I married my sweetheart, who was from a farm. We got asked to come back and take over that farm, which we did, very conventional. But after we took it over, we had 4 years, three of hail, year of drought. 1998 found us $1.5 million U.S. dollars in debt. Bank wasn't going to loan us any money for inputs, but I noticed a change to the land. In those years of drought and hail, life was returning. We suddenly had earthworms, we had insects, we had wildlife returning. And it was really then that I came to the conclusion, hey, before I was trying to fight nature. Now, due to the hailstorms and drought, I needed to work with nature. I didn't have the money to buy all these synthetic inputs. So it sent me on a learning journey. And I'm still learning today about how ecosystems function. And it's just gotten healthier and healthier. The farm now is 10 times more productive than it ever was before. It's profitable every year, and life is good.
Yesterday in your presentation, something that resonated with me was healthy soils, healthy plants, healthy livestock, healthy people, which I think is a very sort of simple way to look at it, but a really interesting way to look at it.
Well, we have to realize, and we're working with a team of scientists now that is proving that out. They're looking at soil microbiology, plant health, animal health, the whole ecosystem. And what we're finding, this team of scientists has the ability to quantify and identify over 2,500 different phytonutrient compounds. And it's those phytonutrient compounds that drive both plant health and then animal health and then our own gut microbiome. And what we're finding, and the scientists are finding, is the more diverse the biological activity in the soils, the more diverse these phytonutrient compounds, the healthier the ecosystem is. It's really exciting.
What are your views on the term regenerative agriculture? I know there are some that like it, some that don't. You know, I can't think of anything better. So it sort of explains what it is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's spin it and let me ask you this. Do you want your marriage to be sustainable or do you want it to be regenerative? That kind of answers that.
Perfect. People that are perhaps more skeptical towards soil carbon projects talk about it's fine during rainy years, but in drought, you're going to lose all that carbon. Your experience, though, has been different?
No, our experience is totally different for the fact that what you do is you actually grow soil. You build that aggregation to a deeper and deeper depth. You move carbon to deeper levels. You have biology at deeper levels. It becomes very resilient. And what we're finding, I'll just put this out there. So the years 2020 through 2022 were the three driest years in recorded history where our ranch is in North Dakota. My son was able to grow a cash crop every year when none of the neighbors could. Now, was it a bumper crop? No. Was it profitable? Yes. So the resiliency is there. Now, did he build carbon during those years? No, but he certainly didn't lose any compared to what the neighbors did.
Yeah. And that's what I've heard over and over again here is, you know, soil carbon sequestration is almost a byproduct. It's the productivity improvements that come first.
That's right. And we have to understand that everything is carbon. We're carbon also. Unfortunately, as I travel around the world, anywhere between 25 and 75% of the carbon that was once in our soils is now in the atmosphere. How do we get that back? It's through diverse array of living plants, taking that sunlight, putting carbon back into the soil. That's how we do it. This isn't rocket science. It's rather easy, as a matter of fact. So it's simply the principles of nature.
Which has been happening for thousands and thousands of years.
That's correct.
Something else you said that really resonated me is that we've learned more about this space in the past 3 years than we did in the previous 25, but actually in the past 12 months, we've learned more than all of those 28 years put together.
Yeah, it's just amazing now as more and more scientists are starting to look at the ecosystem as a whole. You know, Masanobu Fukuoka said it best when he said, an object seen in isolation from the whole is not the real thing. And we have to start looking at our farms as ecosystems. We go change one practice, it's going to have multiple effects on many, many things. So we have to look at it as a whole and how do we operate our farm or ranch, and what I like to say is steward it. How do we steward it in a way that's positively compounding?
Let's think about Australia specifically. You know, a pretty robust carbon market here. I think a growing reputation for regenerative agriculture and what can be achieved. What have you experienced in Australia?
Yes, Australia is leading the world in these carbon markets and also in the biological assessments that they're doing and trying to move forward in that regard. Where I think Australia could use some help is in the education of how do we implement this on the landscape? How do we do adaptive grazing on the landscape to positively compound the amount of carbon that we're sequestering?
You can understand skepticism from producers who have been through a lot of volatility and have to be very resilient. And often is there a feeling of, oh, this surely is too good to be true?
Yeah, and I hear that often. And the way we do it, and our consulting company is now on over 36 million acres, and the reason we've grown so far so fast is we're very, very good at making our clients money. So the way you start doing this is you show them through increased profitability. And that comes down to doing it the right way, learning the biological component in the soils, and then moving forward at the appropriate pace. You don't just remove all the inputs immediately. You do it in a way that transitions that biological life in the ecosystem while increasing that profitability.
You've obviously been talking to the guys from Atlas Carbon who are here. They're sponsors of Wilmot, and their approach very much is to carry out their due diligence first and then make a recommendation to the producer as to whether a carbon project is for them. Again, it seems a very simple way to go about it, but actually it's installing the confidence in the producer that there's something for them over the long term.
Yes, and I'll be honest, I didn't know the Atlas Carbon team until I got here, but in visiting with them over the last 3 days, I'm very impressed at the approach they take, because they're not going to recommend it unless it's in the best interest of the producer.
Let's just finish on sort of policymakers, decision makers, governments, and sort of bigger picture buy-in. You talked a bit about big ag in your presentation yesterday. What does the whole sort of agricultural ecosystem look like for you, creating maybe challenges but opportunities as well?
Well, and what I say is we're not trying to get rid of them. We're just trying to use their products appropriately and realize that at times if they're misused and overused, it's directly antagonistic to regeneration. So why can't we come together and let's do this in a way that's good for all? And what I found is once they understand what we're trying to achieve and that, hey, we're not trying to get rid of them totally, okay, they'll work with us.
Look, my final question, and thank you so much for your time. What do you think your legacy is going to be, Gabe? Obviously, you're seen as a bit of a world leader in this regard. How does that make you feel?
I don't think in terms of legacy. All I want is to regenerate landscapes worldwide so others can see the benefits that I and my family saw.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
To learn more about how Atlas Carbon helps graziers investigate their soil carbon potential, visit the Atlas Carbon website. And to learn more about how Meyer Grazing helps livestock producers make great grazing decisions, visit the Meyer Grazing website.